Welcome to the Filipina Journey Podcast. I am Isabel, your one and only host. Good morning, good afternoon, and good day to everyone listening. This podcast is about the life of a little brown lady, a Filipina who loves to take people on her expedition that is life. From her high school experience, to sports, to culture, to family, and to many more. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Let's go!
Welcome back to the Filipina Journey Podcast. I have here a guest all the way from the other side of the world. We have here Leila Jerusalem. She is the host of Partially Pinoy Podcast, which focuses on the experience of being half Filipino and is produced by Podcast Network Asia. And I actually listened to some of your episodes and I really love how you interview like half Filipinos as well. So welcome to the Filipina Journey Podcast.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm doing really great. I'm super happy that I have a chance to talk to you. Can you tell me a little something about yourself? Like how, like your experience being half Filipino and how did it all come along?
Yeah, so I was born in the Philippines. Yeah, so yung tatay ko nagtatrabaho sa Iran in the 70s. And he met my mom there. They worked at the same company. And they fell in love. They got married in Iran. And then right before the revolution, they moved to the Philippines. So sa Pilipinas ako pinanak, sa St. Luke's, sa Quezon City, actually. And doon ako, that's where I grew up until the age of 12. Doon ako lumaki. So,
studied here for quite some time and then you transferred, you moved. So can you tell me about your experience about shifting schools? How did that go for you?
Yeah, so in the Philippines, I went to School of the Holy Spirit and also Holy Spirit School. School of the Holy Spirit is in BF Homes, Holy Spirit Schools in Cubao. I went there until grade 6. And then I came to the United States and they gave me a test. And because, you know, the Philippines, some schools in the Philippines are really advanced, I ended up skipping grade 7. So I went to grade 8. It was really tough transition because it was all girls in the Philippines. And then I had to go to co-ed here. There was no uniform and the quality of the education was not as good. So it was tough. It was a very tough transition.
Yeah, that must have been hard. But I want to know, like, was it hard for you making friends since you didn't really know much since you're just a new student when you transferred?
Yeah. First, it was hard making friends. But I, you know, luckily found someone else who was half Filipino. And she and I became friends. And she and I are still friends. We just, you know, talked recently. And so that helped. But, you know, most of the time I just felt, you know, completely like I was in an alien world. I didn't I spoke English, everybody spoke English, but it was still very tough.
Yeah. So,
but I did make a few friends.
Yeah, well, it's great that you had like a kababayan with you, a fellow Filipino with you. So I want to know, what is your favorite thing and least favorite thing about being a Filipina?
Gosh, okay, good question. So my most favorite thing about being a Filipina is that I am connected to a people who are kind on average and warm, to a rich history of service, you know, to a country that, you know, has a lot of struggle. And I think, you know, that struggle sort of lives in me as well. And so I think being half Filipina to me means that I am part of a group of people who, you know, historically have been treated unfairly, but who keep on fighting and moving forward. And also, I love being in the same group as some really strong, strong women, both in the Philippines and abroad. What do I not like about being Filipina? There isn't much I don't like about being Filipina, because I think part of it means that, that I myself might feel that there's something I don't like about me, which I try not to do. But I guess if I were to say something, I would say that I think for some people, Filipino food is really hard to understand. So maybe not being able to share the foods that I love so much with new people.
Yeah. It's super agreed. Like, the Filipino food flavors is very, very different, you know. Actually, I've been to the States twice already. I've been to LA and to New York, so East and West. So I actually super remember when I went to LA. So we checked in at our hotel, and then the front desk was a Filipino. So being a Filipino, parang he was very kind, very accommodating. And I remember that he even gave us free water bottles, which was super kind of him. Like, our whole stay there, he was giving us free stuff. So you can really see there that Filipinos are very, very kind, generous, and accommodating. Do you actually experience the same thing there? Like, when you see a fellow Filipino, did you see the connection and the bond?
Yeah, instant. And something similar happened to me. So I am also half Iranian, as you know. And 1 year I was traveling to Iran from Los Angeles. And, you know, Iran has a lot of Afghan refugees. So people who just do a lot of, like, the manual labor. And oftentimes I noticed that many of them don't have great shoes. And sometimes their feet would be exposed, and they would work in these construction sites. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to bring some shoes to Iran for the Afghans. So I asked my friends to donate shoes. I was able to fill 2 boxes of shoes. And I went to check in at the airport. And I, you know, was trying to figure out a way to not have to pay the extra cargo. So I went to the front of the line, and the person who was helping me happened to be this Filipino guy. And I said to him, look, I have these 2 boxes of shoes. They're for the Afghan refugees. Is there any way that I can just bring them on for free? And he said, hold on 1 second. So he left and he came back. He gave me my boarding pass. He said, sure, we'll take the shoes. I get to the airplane, and I give the person my boarding pass, and they look at me, my boarding pass, and they say, okay, ma'am, go up the stairs. So this guy had not only taken my shoes for free, but he had given me, like, first class boarding pass, upgraded me. So I was like, oh, the best kababayan ever.
Yeah, it's really overwhelming. It's really amazing when you encounter people like them. And yeah, I'm super happy you actually had that experience. I'm sure my mom, my parents have been to the States and everywhere, and they also tell me stories like that. And let me ask, what practices do you do there that you actually do in the Philippines?
Yeah, so things that are similar. So I have children, and, you know, if I were living in the Philippines, I would try to give my children the best education possible. So in America here, that's definitely a focus of mine, and I'm grateful for my early experiences, you know, in Holy Spirit, because it just made me realize the importance of, like, the best education you could have. I try to go to the Filipino store slash restaurant as much as I can to bring home Filipino food. You know, things that we do in the Philippines is hang out by the water, you know, and so we just went to the beach yesterday. And yeah, I think, you know, life to me here and there can be very similar. You know, you work, you go to school, you hang out, and so it's not too much of a difference because, you know, the Philippines is unfortunately you know, very Americanized. So
yeah,
for better or worse, very Americanized.
Yeah, that's very true. I agree. Since you spent like 12 years of your life here in the Philippines, when you celebrate holidays, is it the same in the Philippines and there, or it's different?
Yeah, so, you know, Christmas is the same presents, but I would say everything else is different. And, you know, we just had Easter, and I really miss the week-long celebrations in Manila that I experienced. And I also really miss New Year's, because here fireworks are banned in most places. And so, yeah, so I miss that. So holidays are definitely different, but yeah, I really miss Filipino holidays.
Do you go here often?
I've been there only once since we came here, and this was before I was married. I was still in college at the time, but I am planning to be there in the next 2 years. And because of the Partially Pinoy podcast, I've met a lot of people who live there that I can't wait to meet. So
yeah, and I would actually love to meet you as well.
And, oh, for sure.
Yeah. And I have a question. What is your favorite place here? When you were young, what was your favorite place here to visit in the Philippines?
For me, it was Rizal Park. Hands down, as a child, I remember spending...
Yeah, as a child also. We would go there.
Did you spend a lot of time too?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember Rizal Park. And then I remember there was a part by Manila Bay, across from like Rojas Boulevard, where there was like, you can rent bikes and you could go biking, and miss that. You know, we went to all the volcanoes, loved those trips, Pagsanhan Falls. Yeah, Taal Volcano. Just good memories from traveling, and to Baguio. Love all those places. So,
Since I was very young, I actually planned living in the States, actually New York, my dream place. I would really love to live there in the future. Do you have any tips for me, like transitioning as a Filipina, living there in the future? What the struggles, the challenges, the highs, the lows? Tell me about it.
Yeah, so one interesting thing about being an immigrant to the United States from the Philippines is that, you know, in the Philippines, we had a certain status and a certain privilege, and moving to America made all of that disappear overnight. So I would say first of all, really think about whether that is something you want to do permanently. But if you wanted to do it temporarily, I would plug in right away with all the Filipino communities in New York, because they're not only a great resource to learn about New York, but in a way I feel they're also a protection, because, you know, the United States is an amazing place of opportunity, but it also can be a cruel place for people who are immigrants, or people who, here we call them people of color, so anyone who's not white. And so, yeah, I would just think long and hard about, you know, where you want to live and how you want to live, and make sure that you plug into your community right away. So
I agree to finding your community. I actually, whenever we go there, we always have a relative. We have a relative in Florida, we have a relative in LA, in New Jersey. And then it's really different because I experienced touring with other tourists and also experienced touring with my kababayan. So it's really different if you have relatives there who really know the place. And it's easier because they get to show you, and it's not a tourist thing, like there's a specific time and you go with people. Yeah, it's very different, yeah, compared to touring with tourists and your relatives.
Yeah, what do you want to do in New York when you move?
Since that was my dream, that's my dream place actually, and I've been there 2018. Actually, it was a very, very lucky trip there because it was a field trip actually for our school, and then only chosen people get to be there, and I was part actually. And so when I went there, we spent like 3 weeks touring with my other schoolmates, and then the other past weeks, like 2 to 3 weeks, I spent in New Jersey with my relatives. So I actually had the experience of taking the train from New Jersey to New York every day, and I feel like it was something I really wanted to do. It was fun, and you get to see Filipinos around you, so it's not that a strange world. Because, you know, everywhere you go, there's Filipinos. So it wasn't that hard for me. So, yeah, that experience, my dream place, it became like a really dream place but that I really want to live. And, yeah, I don't know what I want to do there. I don't know what I want to do there, but I know I want to live there.
Yeah. Wow. Well, now's a good time because everyone's leaving New York and real estate is really cheap. So it's the perfect time to go and convince your parents to buy you an apartment, you know? Yeah. What school do you go to that you guys had a field trip to New York? I'm jealous.
Well, I go to La Salle.
Okay.
That's cool. Yeah. I went to La Salle and we were actually the first batch. Yeah, it was 2018. You were the first batch to go to field trip outside of the school. And then the second batch was 2019, and then it stopped because of the pandemic. So super lucky that I was a part. And it was chosen by so a very few people. And from our batch, we were only three. It was me, my twin, and then another student from my batch. So super duper lucky, and we couldn't say no actually because I was like, Mom, this is my dream place. I really need to accept this invite. So super lucky.
And who took care of the getting the visas, or did you have like one of those like unlimited travel visas?
For the others, the school took care of it, but for us, we already had a visa since we went to LA 2016. Yeah. So we already
have
before. But yeah, I really like living. I really like staying in the States. But then, of course, it's still different if you're here, your home country. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm always wondering how I can bring my kids back to the Philippines to really, really, you know, get to know the culture. And wow, it would be amazing for them to go to school there, you know. I think oftentimes the grass is always greener, right? So we kind of fantasize, I do anyway, about, oh, life in the Philippines would be awesome because my childhood was awesome and, you know.
Can you tell me more about your childhood, like amazing memories from your childhood, unforgettable ones?
Yeah, so I am an only child and, you know, we lived very, very, we lived a very routine life. you know, I went to school, probably typical, maybe for you, Isabel, I don't know if you're driven to school or if you get picked up, but picked up at the door every day. I, you know, would go to school. I spent a lot of time on the street playing kickball and, you know, hide and seek, and just had a lot of fun. I went caroling with my neighbors. My dad, you know, he was an overseas foreign worker. So he, you know, traveled quite a bit, you know, as part of his work during the year. And then eventually he stayed in the Philippines for 2 years straight and, you know, started a few businesses. He also ended up working for an airline later on as an engineer. And so, you know, I don't know if that's a typical experience for a lot of Filipino children, but it was for me. And the other thing that was, I'd say, like, my memory of my childhood was just spending a lot of time with friends playing, you know, on the streets. And then I also being exposed to a lot of Persian culture, because there are a lot of Iranians there also. So eating Iranian foods and spending time with Iranian friends. I do have a memory. So we went caroling. This is a Christmas memory. I went caroling with my class, with my neighbors. And
we're Filipinos.
Yeah. So have you done this? Have you gone door to door caroling?
When I was young, I believe. But then
okay. Yeah. So I went caroling and I didn't know all of the Tagalog songs, because, you know, my parents spoke English to each other, and I'm sure it's the same at La Salle. All of your classes are taught in English except for Tagalog or Filipino and history. That's how it was for me anyway. And so I didn't know all of the Tagalog carols, and the leader of the group, you know, at the end of the evening, she was dividing up the money. And she was like, "Layla, you don't get as much money because you didn't know all the words."
Oh my God.
So, you know, that's a memory. I guess it's a painful memory, but I, you know, those are the things that make us stronger, those types of experiences. I also remember, because, you know, like dusk, I don't know what it is, Isabel, but the dusk in Manila, like right when the sun sets, like there's like this really interesting feeling in the air, or this like really weird darkness that comes, that comes. And so, but people are still kind of walking and the streets are still kind of busy. And I remember my friends and I would do this prank where we would tie a really thin piece of thread across the trees right at dusk so that people who were walking anyway would, like, I don't know, just run into this thread. It was just like a kid prank. But anyway, those are my memories.
Oh my gosh, actually, I didn't have that kind of experience, but my mom would always make cuento about her childhood, that she would always play in the streets, and that was her life basically. She'd rather play the streets than study. But I really didn't have that experience because of technology, I believe. My mom would always tell me that I really miss that type of childhood, and that's something she would actually go back. And she really is sad for me because we didn't have that experience, because it's a different childhood experience playing in the streets with your friends. Yeah, I didn't have
so,
that.
Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't really have that experience because I was just playing dolls at home or watching TV, social media. So, yeah.
So most Filipino children then these days, or I guess some Filipino children, are not playing on the streets like they used to.
Right. Yeah. Which is sad, actually. I super wished I had that experience. It's really fun, actually. But for some, when I go to other places, I still see kids playing in the streets. And when I see them, I just really hope that I had that childhood experience. You know, growing up, it was a bit lonely for me. I didn't really have a neighbor friends. My friends were my siblings. And yeah, I miss that part. I really, really hope that technology didn't ruin my childhood in a way.
But, yeah. I get it.
I'm happy that you actually had that experience. You know, it's a different experience. I know you, I believe you enjoyed that, really.
It was amazing. Every child should have that experience of just going on front of their house and then seeing all their friends, you know, or just knocking on a friend's door. And oh my gosh, it was good. It was good. And my piano teacher lived across the street, you know, and she had a son and we would always climb the trees in front of her home. And it was just nice. It was nice.
So, would you live there in the States to this childhood experience also?
I think it's the same. You know, there was a generation where people played on the streets, but it's not true anymore. I think here it's less because of technology, although I know that's, you know, what you can do at home. I think here it's more about safety. Like, parents have become really hyper protective.
Yeah. Yeah.
Donden?
Yeah. I have a question. What are the values that you instill in yourself as a Filipino? Like, growing up, you had these values and you still bring it.
To me, the strongest Filipino values are that of family. I would say as a woman, modesty was definitely something that I grew up with. And, you know, feels very familiar to me and something I, for myself, want to preserve. I think those are the two big ones. So family and almost like a self-preservation as a woman instead of just constantly putting yourself out there. I think humor, this is something I love about my Filipino brothers and sisters, is just a lighthearted way of living, a kindness, you know? So, yeah, those are the values that I think have really, really stuck.
Yeah, I super agree with the family-oriented. I believe that a lot of Filipinos have a very family-oriented value. And actually, I really, if ever I live in the States, I would really carry that kind of value as well. But one value I also have instilled and will for sure carry as I grow is the generosity. Like, I know a lot of Filipinos are very generous, but I know some also who are not. But a lot, most of the Filipinos are very generous, and it's just very overwhelming and very kind if people around you just share what they have, even if they don't have a lot. You know, I know a lot of Filipinos, they don't have a lot of resources, but they still can share to their kababayans, which is amazing and something I loved also about in the Philippines.
Yeah, you have
that experience also, like, just strange, like, Filipinos around you share, like, you don't even know them, but then they are very generous and kind.
Yeah, I'm experiencing that right now on Clubhouse. Have you heard of Clubhouse?
Is that the app?
Yeah, the new social media app that everyone's going crazy over. I joined a few Filipino groups and Filipino rooms. And I feel like there's so much generosity there. You know, if you have a question or a thought, there's so much support. Sometimes people will, like, sing, you know, just the spontaneous singing, and people are so supportive. I love that. I love that about, you know, of just being, I love being exposed to that side of the Filipino culture, you know, just the generosity, like you said, but also the support of each other. And those rooms are also really funny. So
yeah, I totally agree. Before we end this episode, I have one last question. What is your favorite Filipino food?
This one is very easy because I'm pretty sure it's the Filipino favorite, the favorite of 90% of people in general who eat dry Filipino foods, including foreigners and Filipinos. So it's lumpia.
Ooh.
I just could eat that all day, like candy. It'll make you feel terrible because of all that oil and the friedness.
I actually had yesterday.
You did?
I did.
How often do you have it?
I don't know. We can just buy from our village, but then sometimes we can make our own also. Yeah, it's really good.
What's your favorite Filipino food?
My favorite Filipino food is sisig. I love pork sisig. Yeah,
you know, I ate a lot of Filipino food, but I didn't eat all of them. You know, like I grew up eating palabok, pinakpit, pancit, of course, pancit. And, you know, all the standard, like, barbecues and, like, I ate a lot of Filipino food, dilis. I love dilis, fish balls on the street, mango with, you know, bagoong, balot. I ate all that stuff growing up. But there are some foods, say that again.
You like street food?
I love street food. But I never ate tinaguan because, you know, my mom, she grew up Muslim. And I think Muslims don't eat pork. So I think she was like, you know, barbecue pork. That's as far as I'll let it go. And, you know, she didn't practice. But she, I never ate tinaguan. I haven't had sisig that I know of. Of course, adobo, I'd love to. Maybe it's adobo that's actually my favorite. I don't know. But, you know.
Oh, my gosh, I had a great time talking to you. I really did. And do you have anything to promote? Your podcast, your social? Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. So the name of my podcast is Partially Pinoy. It's about the half Filipino experience, both of people who live in the Philippines and across the world. And you can find me and that show on Instagram at Partially Pinoy.
Hey there you go. Thank you so much, Leila, for accepting my invite. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Isabel.
Thank you for listening to the Filipina Journey podcast. If you're listening through Apple Podcasts, please rate this podcast. It will really help me a lot. Follow this podcast on Spotify or wherever you're listening to get updated whenever I post a new episode. You can also support this podcast with a small monthly donation to help me sustain my future episodes. The link to support is on the podcast and episode description. If you have any questions and/or suggestions, you may contact me through my email, thefilipinajourney@gmail.com, or through Instagram at thefilipinajourney or at Isabella Cruz, my personal IG account. You can also send a voice message through Anchor, that is anchor.fm/isabelvc/message. The link is also on the episode description. That will be it for today. Let's talk soon. Bye-bye.